glad to have you with us this morning. A beautiful morning here in Johnson City, and it's good that we all gather together. We enjoy these occasions when we can come together to praise God. We're glad that you have joined us for that. If you happen to be a visitor or a guest of some one of our members, a particular greeting to you. We love having guests and visitors. Hope you'll come back and see us again if you have that opportunity. For all you fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, happy Father's Day to you. We hope you have a great day. We appreciate the good influence that you have in your families, and hope it's a very meaningful day for you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So begins Psalm 34. And it's also an appropriate beginning for a worship service, isn't it? We come together, we in unison lift up our voices to God Almighty and praise him for the great God that he is. So magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody again. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, hymn number 121. Our next hymn will be hymn number 711. 711.
Bless me, Lord.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 858. Excuse me.
Thank you.
I'd like again to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers, but also in doing so, remember that we have the responsibility to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Shall we pray? Our most gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, the one that 10,000 blessings flow, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us the opportunity to assemble today to fulfill the commandment. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've, in your infinite wisdom and mercy, you saw the downfall of mankind and you asked your Son to redeem us from all sins, and he was willing to leave the splendor of heaven and come to this earth and die on an old rugged cross that we can be redeemed from those sins. Heavenly Father, we pray always that we do your will in all things. We pray, Heavenly Father, for each day that you've given us and all the blessings. We look at the daily focus and see so many, Heavenly Father, that are sick and friends and loved ones that we know. And we realize, Heavenly Father, that prayer makes such a difference in our lives, and we realize that it makes a difference in others. Heavenly Father, we again ask on behalf of the prison ministry that we're involved in, that those young men and women that have made mistakes and have caused them to be incarcerated, that we be an encouragement to them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we are disciples for them, that we show them the truth and the light of what your word says. Heavenly Father, we pray for Tim now as he brings us a lesson. Bless him. Give him a remembrance of things he studied. Help us, Heavenly Father, students of your word, realizing that it should guide us, but it'll also judge us in the last day. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the elders here and the decisions they make and overseeing the flock, that they do so and always adhering to your word. Bless those, Heavenly Father, that are not here but yet are able to listen to us by the social media. Help them, Heavenly Father, be encouraged by what goes on. Help us, Heavenly Father, each day of our lives to grow closer to you, to always be that onward Christian soldier. Never lukewarm, Heavenly Father, but realizing that our decisions we make here have consequences of heaven. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you forgive us of our sins and shortcomings and transgressions, that the prayers that we offer may not be hindered. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we have the scripture reading in today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 722. 722.
Oh, my. All right, if you will, be turning to Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. And before we get to reading the scripture today, go ahead, and now's a good time for children to leave for children's training class. Looking at the prophet of Isaiah here in the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, reading from the English Standard Version. Come, everyone who thirst, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David.
At the risk of sounding repetitive, I'll say it again. Happy Father's Day to all of you who are fathers and who will be within the next little while. And of course, we have to say thank you to our wives, because without you, we wouldn't be fathers. But it is a blessing. I will say it is a blessing for me to be a father. I could not be more delighted with my children. And I know many of you would say the same thing. It is a blessing from God. And of course, today is the Father's Day. Every Lord's Day is the day when we come together and bow before our Heavenly Father. And think about it. I mean, He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the righteous judge. But He also says, call me your Father if we are His children. If we have come to Him through Christ, we have that right. It is a privilege to call Him our Father. And it's just another reason to come and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful blessing that you have given us. And today we do it again, because it never gets old. We are always happy to come and worship our God and to be together. I mean, that is a side benefit of coming and worshiping God. As I know, I'm going to be joined by many of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and what a blessing that is. And we're glad you're here. We're glad all of you are with us that are watching online as well, or listening online. And we know that your hearts are with us, even if you can't be with us in person. But it is good to be together in the house of the Lord and to see all of you. And we have a lot of visitors with us as well. We're glad you are here. And hope that you'll come back and be with us anytime you can. And if we can help in any way, please let us know what we can do, and we'll be glad to do anything we can. I have to mention a couple of people that are with us today that I'm especially glad to see. I mean, I'm glad to see all of you, but these are people we've not seen in a while. Donna Ray is with us today. Donna has been fighting cancer for quite some time. And this morning she is with us, and she is in remission. Can you say praise God or thank God or something? Will you raise your hand back there, Donna? Raise your hand, Donna, so people know who I'm talking about. There she is, back toward the very back. And be sure to thank God that she has come this far and is now back with us again. And then right behind her is Al DeMello. Many of us know Al as a member here a few years ago, or as the father of Letitia Wisecarver, and the grandfather of those young'uns that she has. Al has been preaching in various places, but now he is retired, living in Florida, and he came up to visit his family. And so, Al, raise your hand so everybody knows who I'm talking about. And Al DeMello is with us this morning, and always good to see Al. And all of you, if you feel like I should have introduced you publicly, let me know later, and I'll try to make amends for that. But we're glad you're here. This evening at 6 o'clock, Lord willing, we will meet together outside. Yes, we're going to do it outside tonight, unless lightning and thunder comes, which can happen. But our plan is to do an outdoor worship service, and it's been a while since we've done one, so we're glad to have that opportunity. Bring your chairs or blankets, or if you want to stay inside your car, it's going to be kind of warm, so that might not be the best choice, but you decide. And we'll meet down here at the lower part of the low parking lot. We'll have the one row designated for people that want to stay in their cars, and the rest of us will park further back, and unless you want to do like I do and walk to worship tonight. So you decide. But let's get our Bibles out. We're glad to be together, and thank you for being here. Now let's get into the Word of God. Now, of course, you know this is vacation season. This is vacation season, and some of you have already been on vacation, I've heard. And some of you might say, where I went was heaven on earth. And there's a lot of places, I think, that we could say might qualify for that designation, heaven on earth. It may be a tropical environment. It may be a mountain cabin next to a pond. It could be a lot of places. It depends on what you like. And so that's how we describe it. It's heaven on earth. But let's be honest. Is any place on earth really heaven? I mean, as nice as your place may have been, is it not also subject at times to natural disasters, maybe a hurricane or a wildfire or a flood of some kind? Or all places on earth, is it not subject to pandemics? And so we'd have to say, well, okay, that was a little bit exaggerated. I really like that place, but no, we can't really say it's heaven on earth. Well, heaven is a word that we use to say this is as good as it gets. And we get that idea from the Bible, of course. Heaven is the idea in the Bible that says this is as good as it gets. It'll be a land that is so wonderful, unlike anything we know on earth. But can we say in any way that we can have heaven on earth? And I think we can. That's what I'm going to try to show you in the Bible today, is that we who are the people of God can actually say and enjoy living in heaven on earth. Let me show you what I mean. Let's get into the Word of God. And I urge you to open your Bibles, look with me, and let's make sure that what we believe and practice is based on God's Word. Now, first of all, let's talk about heaven as an ideal future existence. Heaven as an ideal future existence. Now, there's a lot of people, of course, that deny that there is such a thing as heaven. Maybe you saw in the news last week that a famous actor, a famous politician of the past, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was interviewed, and in that interview, he said, heaven is a fantasy. There's really no such thing as heaven. And even as much as we'd like to think there is, come on, folks, there's really not going to be anything after we die, good or bad. That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger said. And yeah, I know he intimidates you by his presence, but is that really what we're to believe, that there is no heaven at all? Well, the Bible says otherwise. The Bible makes it very clear there is something after this life, and for those that put their trust and their lives in the hands of God, it is going to be very wonderful. Let me just give you two or three passages to refresh your memory on it. We'll not belabor this point very much, but look at John chapter 14. John 14, 1 through 3, one of our favorite passages in all of the Bible. I think you'd agree with this. Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm going away. They had been with him 3 years, day and night, day after day. They had been with Jesus, and he said, I'm leaving. And he knew they were going to be sad at that news. But listen to what he says in John 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That passage makes it very clear there will be a future existence after our lives on this earth are ended. Jesus said, I'm going away, and where I'm going is to prepare a place for you. It is in my Father's house, a very large house, big enough for as many as want to come. And if all 8 billion on earth today were to decide, yeah, we want to go there, we want to be Christians, then all 8 billion would find a place reserved for them. And so Jesus said, there is something waiting for you, and it's not here on earth, because I'm coming again, I will take you with me, and we'll go there. So the Bible there is very clear, heaven is a real place. It is a future existence, and it is ideal. Think also about what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. He was writing to people that were concerned about their departed loved ones. They had been Christians, but they died. And they said, well, they died before Jesus came back. They've lost out on everything. And Paul says, no, they haven't lost out. Listen to what he says there in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. We call that the second coming of Christ. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. There's a lot of ideas in that passage, but let me just note a couple of them. One, he said, those people that have already died, they will not have missed out on anything. Because when the Lord returns, they will be raised up and they will join the Lord in the air. That's what he said in that passage. And those of us who are still alive when the Lord comes, we'll join them. And so we will always be with the Lord. It is an existence that is never ending. This life on earth will end at some point unless the Lord comes first, and then it will end, even this life on earth. But the idea is that in heaven, it doesn't end. And it comes for many after death. In fact, all who die in the Lord, it will come after death. But we're not going to miss out on any of those blessings. And then one other passage, again, a very familiar passage, Revelation 14 and verse 13. Does the Bible teach about a future ideal existence? Well, here's another example of it. Revelation 14 and verse 13, where John is given this vision, this message. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. And again, you see, the idea is, what about those people that die as Christians and Jesus has not yet come? It doesn't matter. We're still going to be blessed. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. And why is that? They will find rest for their souls. But more than that, their deeds follow them. Now, if there was no future existence, what would that mean? If it's just the abyss, it's nothingness, that would be meaningless. It would mean nothing. But the fact that my deeds follow me means I'm taking them with me. The remembrance of the good that I did in the kingdom of God will follow me. It will be there on the day of judgment. It may even go on into eternity. The Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You did my will. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And so that shows us there are a lot of passages in the Bible that says very clearly, yes, there is a future ideal existence called heaven. It's not a fantasy. regardless of who may say it is, I put my trust in God and in what he tells me. Now, let me also note that we're not talking either about a heaven on earth, which means, like a lot of religions teach today, this earth is going to be refurbished. Maybe you've had a house refurbished, you know, an old house that was showing signs of wear, and the builders came in and did major work and it looks like new. And there are people that will say that's what's going to happen to this earth. I don't see that in the Bible at all. What I see is this earth is going to be destroyed and our existence will be in a spiritual realm with God forever. But the idea is, yeah, we're talking about heaven on the grandest scale, and I want to be there. In fact, C.S. Lewis, and many of you have read some or a lot of C.S. Lewis, he made this statement in his most famous work, Mere Christianity. He said, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. I like that. Because there are things, you know, we can all say, well, nothing truly, completely satisfies us on this earth, material things. And even though we may say, you know, I'll really be happy when I get that car, when I get that boat, when I get that house, yet a couple of years later, we're not so happy anymore. We're not truly satisfied. And Lewis said, if I find in myself desires that nothing on earth can satisfy, that means one thing. I was made for another world. That other world is heaven. And that's what he went on to say. So when we're talking about heaven on earth, I understand there is that grand heaven. We're not talking about that. We're talking about on earth. Is there any way we can enjoy some of heaven while we're on earth? And let's talk, therefore, about the experiences of heaven while we're living this life. Experiences of heaven as we live on this earth. I want to begin in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I hope you'll look at that with me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is such a powerful passage filled with ideas that we need to meditate on. And here's what Peter said. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power, talking about God, of course, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. In other words, we've got everything we need. God didn't put us here and say, okay, do the best you can. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to please you. I don't know what to avoid. No, Peter said God has given us everything. How? Through the knowledge of him who has called us to virtue and glory. Knowledge that comes in this book, the Bible. But then he goes on to say this in verse 4. By that knowledge, he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So he says there, promises have been given to us. And you know what a promise is. A promise is something that pertains to the future. You know, we may say, we're going on vacation next month. And our kids hear that. Oh, yes, we're going to go on vacation. And they are basing their happiness on that fact that we're going to go. Well, this says God has given us some precious and very powerful promises. And what are the reasons for those? That we might be partakers of the divine nature. Divine means heavenly. And even while we're on this earth, we can be partakers of the divine nature, not as fully as we will out there in eternity. But yes, even now while we're living, we can enjoy some of that. Now, what do I mean by that? What are some of those tastes of heaven that we can have in this life? And I'll share with you four that I find, and you can make this list a lot longer. In fact, I'd like to hear from you on other ideas that you would put under this heading. I'm going to do it for sake of time, limit it to four, but there's a lot more that you could add. Let's begin in John 15. John 15, verses 10 and 11. John 15, verses 10 and 11. This is part of that same conversation Jesus had with his disciples when he told them, I'm leaving you. And now listen to what he says in John 15, verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, notice the if there. There is a condition here. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Joy. I think all of us would say that's something we'll have in heaven, wouldn't you? I mean, if it's not, then why do we want to go there? Joy, it's going to be so wonderful. And the vision that we'll have, the colors we'll see, the light, the presence of God and his son Jesus and the angels, and wow, joy everywhere. But Jesus said, you can have joy now. And your joy can be full. Sadly, there are Christians that don't seem to have that joy. They seem to go from day to day thinking, well, what do I have to do today? What does God make me do? That's not joy. Joy means I'm just excited about living another day. I mean, God gave me this life. There's some way I can serve him today. Joy can be ours on this earth. So can we have heaven on earth? That's what Jesus said, isn't it? My joy I'm leaving with you, that your joy may be full. Not just a dab of it here and a little dab over there. This is full joy. It characterizes our lives. So there's one way we can have heaven on earth, is by enjoying the joy we've been given. Let's look at another one. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Now, again, most people would say that peace is one of those things we'll have in heaven. Peace. Here on earth, we have worry, we have fear, and it's only when we don't have peace that we realize how much we want it. In heaven, it'll be there. We know that. God will be there. There'll be no evil, no sin, no crimes to worry about. It's only going to be good. But what about now? Well, listen to what Paul said here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I think, again, a very familiar passage. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. And right away, we're saying, what? We're living on earth. Don't you realize that, Paul? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And again, it's like joy. It's there, but do we enjoy it? Do we really take advantage of that blessing that we have? And could that be because we're not using prayer like we should? We sang a song earlier, did you think to pray? When your heart was filled with anger, when bad things were happening around you, did you think to pray? And for Christians, it is the key that unlocks the blessing of peace. We'll have peace in heaven, but guess what? We can have it here on earth as well if we follow the will of our Father and do as he says. So again, peace is a taste of heaven on earth. And while we're in Philippians 4, let's drop down to verse 19. Let's look at a third way we can experience heaven on earth. Philippians 4 and verse 19. Now, again, in heaven, are we going to need anything? Are you ever going to open the pantry, if we have a pantry in heaven, and say, uh-oh, we're out of everything. We don't have anything to eat. I think most of us know. No, that's not going to be the case. God is going to provide for us. We will be contented. Whatever it is God gives us, whether it's angel food cake or divinity candy, I don't know. But you know, God will take care of us. We'll be contented up there. Guess what? We can again have a taste of that on earth. Philippians 4, verse 19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So again, you see, the idea is we have that. Not like it will be in heaven, I know that. But we have this blessing while we're here on earth. Do we take advantage of that? Or do we choose instead to focus on what do I have to do? You know, I've got to get out there and do this or that, or I'm not going to have anything. And we forget about the promise that God will supply all of our needs in Christ Jesus. And let's look at one other one in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Another blessing of heaven, God will be there. In fact, John tells us in Revelation that we will see his face. He will be there with his people. I mean, can you imagine actually getting to be in the real, I mean, we're in the real presence of God. We just can't sense it right now with these physical senses. But in heaven, we'll know it. It will be a fact beyond denial, and we'll love it. Well, what about now? Well, again, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where the writer says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's the reason we are often not contented and why we so much crave material things is we forget that God is here with us. He's going to provide us with whatever it is that we need. And so, yeah, if I look with faith, I can enjoy heaven on earth because God is with me. He has promised to be with me and never leave me nor forsake me. And again, these are just a few of the things that we'll find in the Word of God. There are plenty of others that are listed that you could put in there. But we can enjoy heaven on earth. But somebody says, now wait, you've not talked about the best one of all. And that is living forever. Or eternal life, as we call it sometimes. You've not mentioned that. Doesn't that begin when we get there in heaven? Well, let's think about that. Let me take you now to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 John 5 and verse 13. Because John makes an interesting statement there about something that we have been given. And do we think about this much? He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, John could have said that you may know that you will have eternal life. That would be the future tense. And I believe that's true. But John instead wrote, I have written so you may know that you have eternal life. That, I think, means that we've already begun living that eternal life, those of us who are in Christ. Now, does that mean that we're not going to die? We are going to die physically, but we're not going to die in the ultimate way, the second death, as it's called in the book of Revelation. And so now we have that eternal life. Do we stop and reflect on that? Do we stop and rejoice in that? That I'm already enjoying eternal life because I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of God's Son. Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. And again, this says much the same thing, that we don't have to wait until after death to really enter into the gates of the kingdom of God, because here Paul says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. When did that happen? When we obeyed the gospel. When we obeyed the commands that God has given us through his Son and the other inspired writers. When we did that, we were delivered from the power of darkness. And what else happened? He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, if I ask you, are you part of the kingdom of God? You might say, well, I will be one day when I get to heaven. You don't have to wait. You are a part of the kingdom of God if you're a Christian. You've been transferred into that kingdom. You were removed from the power of darkness and now placed in a very safe and wonderful place, the kingdom of God. And so, do we have to wait? Do we have to wait until after the judgment day to be able to enjoy heaven? Well, the fullest expression of it, yes, that's when it begins, after judgment. But we can enjoy tastes of it here on earth. And that's what makes the church so wonderful. I know a lot of people look down on the church and they think, oh, I know those people. I know those things they do, how hypocritical they can be. That is a fact. There are people that are hypocritical. And guess what? We're all people who have our failings. But this is a kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth. And we can enjoy heaven on earth while we're here. I heard a story a long time ago about a man that had finally fulfilled his lifelong dream of going on a cruise. It took about everything he had financially, but he said, I'm going to do it one day. And so now was the time. He finally gets on board and begins meeting a few people he never knew before. And they noticed he never came out for the meals. He stayed in his room during the meals. And so they ask him after 2 or 3 days, we noticed you've not been coming out to eat. What's going on? And he said, well, I spent just about everything I had to come on this cruise, so I just brought some crackers and bologna and whatever you want to put in there. Inexpensive things, that's all I can afford. And they say, don't you realize? The meals are included. You've been depriving yourself of these sumptuous meals when you could have been out here enjoying them. And that's what I'm saying about living now on earth as a Christian. Are we depriving ourselves? Have we not realized these marvelous benefits that God gives us? And let's go back to Isaiah 55 that was read earlier for us, because I think that really says it. That says what we're talking about, even though it was written before Christ. This is the voice of God. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Here's what Earl read for us earlier this morning. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Those words still ring through the centuries for us. Because God is saying, I want you to come and enjoy the best of life. As Jesus would say in John 10, verse 10, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Are you living that abundant life as a Christian? Are you living the kingdom life as a Christian? Don't deprive yourself. Enjoy what God has given you and enjoy joy and peace and contentment and all of the other blessings that come with being a Christian. If you're not a Christian, the good news is the invitation is still open. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, if you're ready to turn away from sin, repenting of it, and willing to confess Him before others, and today you would be willing to be baptized into Christ, you can become part of that kingdom. And we hope you will. We'd love to help you with that. And if you've done those things and have not been faithful, you've let the world deceive you into thinking the best things in life are out here, it's time to repent and pray to be forgiven and restored to your place in the kingdom. Can we help you in any way? If so, come as we stand together and sing.
When my way Thank you. home.
Please be seated.
Christine Russell comes forward this morning. We've known Christine and Charlie for several years now. We know that a few years ago they moved back to California to be with family and try to be a strong influence on children, grandchildren. And this morning she comes talking about how it all seems to have been for naught. There have been so many bad choices and choices of the world versus choices for God. And she says it's just crushed her. And it makes her wonder, what is my purpose in life? And one purpose I know is to help more of us who have been through similar situations to know that we're not alone. There are others who struggle with these kinds of things. And that's when we come together as people of God to lean on each other, to pray for each other, to do whatever we can to help each other. We know that Christine is a very godly woman, a very spiritually minded woman. And so right now, we just all need to pray with her and for her that somehow some of these things can be worked out and bad decisions can be undone and they'll come to see what is right. I think she said 19 grandchildren, 18 now that one has gone on. She just wants them to all go to heaven with her, all of her family. And we're going to be praying with her in just a moment for that. Also want to make you aware of somebody else with us. She's been with us for quite a while, but you may not have known it. Randy Kelly, she and her husband Ed moved here from the Atlanta area 3 years ago, about somewhere around there, and strong members of the congregation down there. I know the preacher there. He was at Freed Hardeman with me, and I know they have been very active and very diligent in the church there. But soon after they moved to this area, Ed's physical health declined rapidly to the point where he was not able to be out among people. His immune system was so low. And then, of course, not many months ago, he passed away. Randy's, they've been worshiping with us online all that time, and since Ed's passing, Randy has been coming very regularly, and yet a lot of you don't know her. And so we thought, well, you know, we always ask people who place membership with us to stand and be recognized. So even though they placed membership with us a year and a half ago or more, I want you to see Randy and be able to say, that's who you are. And so Randy, would you stand for just a moment and everybody get to know Randy. She is such a delightful person, very spiritually minded. Her son Kyle is sitting next to her this morning and his wife Shelby. And she has other children. Courtney is with us too. Okay, Courtney, her daughter, is here with us as well. And we're just so thankful to have Randy with us. We're heartbroken that things worked out the way they did. Although we're happy now for Ed, we wish we could have gotten to know him because he was such a strong force in the church. But we want you to know her. We'll get her picture made quickly and get it in the directory so you'll know who we're talking about if you didn't see her. But be sure to welcome her into our family as well. We also want to pray for all those who are headed up to High Rock this afternoon. There are several, I'm sure. In fact, if you're going to High Rock, stand for a moment. I want to see all adults as well as kids. Adults as well as kids. Bunch of them over here. All right, there's a lot more than this. Some are already up there, I think. But all right, we're going to be praying for you all and pray that it's a great work week. Let's bow and go to God in prayer. Our God and our Father, we feel your grace and your mercy. And Lord, to be invited into your presence is just everything. And we know it can only happen because of your Son Jesus and the blood he shed that takes away our sins. And Father, we come because right now we're so heartbroken and concerned along with Christine and Charlie. Father, their family has made choices that are not according to your will. And it's just something they never wanted to see happen. They tried their best. And yet this world is so powerful, Father. Not more powerful than your Son, but Father, we just grieve that they've made the choices they have. And Father, we're heartbroken for Christine as she feels like she has no purpose now. And we know she does, Lord. We know she can help so many. But we just pray, Father, that you'll bless her and Charlie both with comfort, that you'll help open their eyes to possibilities and realities. And we also pray, Lord, for their family, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, that their eyes will be opened, that they will see what is real, that they will not be deceived by the deceiver any longer, but they'll come out of darkness and into the kingdom of your Son. Father, please bless the Russells. We pray. And Father, we're just so thankful for Randy and for Ed, who's still very much a part of her. Father, we are grieved that we were not able to get to know him better, but we know he made a deep impact on many, many lives in Georgia and everywhere they went. But Father, we thank you for Randy and for her faithfulness, her determination to continue in the path of light. Help us all to welcome her, to encourage her, to let her know she is a part of our family, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, thank you for High Rock Bible Camp. We know that Teen Week has already concluded, and we're thankful that you were with them and kept them from harm and enabled them to have experiences that will build up their souls. We pray for the same for the Preteen Week coming up. Watch over them, Lord. Bless them, staff and campers as well. And may it be a wonderful experience for all of them. May they all be drawn closer to your Son. Father, we're thankful that Donna is with us again today, that she has come through a very hard battle with cancer. We're thankful for many others, Lord, that are here with us after having come through illness or injuries. Lord, look upon each of our hearts and bless us with what you see we need. We need you, Lord, more than anything. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excuse me. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 332.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and prepare your cup. I'm going to read what Paul gave instructions to the Corinthians about concerning the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the blood and body of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son who came to this earth, who went through the trials and tribulations that he did, and for the sacrifices that he gave for us, especially his body upon the cruel cross of Calvary. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we take this bread, that we reflect upon those sufferings and the sacrifice he gave for us. It's his name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to thee now, thank thee for your Son and for his blood that was shed in the cruel beatings, the thorn upon his head, and for the nails driven through his hands and his feet, and the spear that pierced his side. We thank you for this blood and for the suffering he shed. Otherwise, we would not have a chance of eternal life. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we partake of this cup, that we do in a manner that is well-pleasing to thee. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This being a convenient time, we will now give thanks for the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us and for our abilities to work and earn a living and income. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that these monies will be used to the uplifting of the church here and the church the world over. We pray that you be with the elders as they make decisions on how to use this money that will be the best for your kingdom. And we thank you for the things that you've given us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's close with a prayer and a few announcements. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for having this time together. We pray that the praise that has been offered up to you has been sweet and acceptable in your sight. Help us never to forsake these opportunities, but to always be together, willing to lift up your praise to you. You are our great God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to make you aware of these items. As you leave, please take your communion cups and dispose of them on the way out. As Tim mentioned, worship this evening will be outdoors. Bring chairs or blankets and join us for worship in God's creation. An email will be sent out this afternoon with the songs that we'll be singing. The service will be broadcast for those who can't get out. We will be collecting gift cards until July 9th for Renzi Rice and Richard Bylan. They will be married on August 12th in Corvallis, Oregon. They are registered at Amazon and theknot.com. All ladies are invited to a baby shower for Brandon, Maddie, and baby girl Davis today from 3 until 4:30 at the barn at Avondale Springs in Jonesboro. Brandon and Maddie are registered at Amazon. All ladies are invited to a baby shower for Tommy, Jordan, and baby girl Javier on June 25th from 4 to 5:30 in the downstairs fellowship area. Tommy and Jordan are registered at Amazon. There will be a planning meeting to gather ideas for decorating for Redemption Ranch themed VBS on Sunday, June 18th, today at 4:45 p.m. in the 5th and 6th grade classroom. See Catherine Albertson if you have anything you're willing to help with or lend props. Remember these folks in prayer. Ron Edlin, that's the brother of Joyce Hall, was discharged from the hospital on Saturday afternoon after being treated for pneumonia. He's back at his home in Cincinnati. Annette Eves, a friend of Mandy Oaks and a new sister in Christ, is stuck overseas as she tries to get home. Mandy writes, she is also a new Christian who is unable to study the Bible due to circumstances beyond her control. So let's remember Annette in our prayers. High Rock Bible Camp's preteen week begins today. Please say a prayer that the Lord will watch over campers and staff and that all of those there will be drawn closer to Christ. Also, a couple of additions to the prayer list. In this case, thanks for past prayers. Andy Russell, that's Dennis's cousin, who had surgery this past week, had a successful surgery. And we want to remember to thank our Father for that. Also, please pray for Chris Elliott, who was in the ER until 3 a.m. This morning. Her potassium level is very low. They're awaiting blood test results for possible infection. This has taken a great physical toll on her. And Ron asked for prayers for her comfort as well as strength for him as he attends to her. Good to be with everyone. We hope you'll be back for our evening worship. We are dismissed. Have a great day.